We're going to be in 1 John this morning, other places, and I'm not used to putting titles with lessons, but the title of this lesson would be, What is Righteousness? And we're going to see what the Scripture has to say about that in some. In 1 John, the first chapter, I'd like to read the first 10 verses. It says, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And so a couple of things to start with, that John is saying that in all of Scripture that we have, this is true, but he's saying that which we have seen, verse 3, which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That's a good reason that God has given this word to John to write unto His people. It says to declare those things they have seen and heard. And just above that, we've seen the word of life, speaking of the Lord Himself. And it was in their midst, and they had firsthand knowledge and firsthand dealings with Him as the Word. And it says that these things, based on that, and our fellowship that we have with Him, write unto us that your joy may be full. It's a good book to read, and it's not as you read some of these things, it looks almost like a checklist, because it says, hereby we know how we stand in different things. A lot of times you say, well, it's like the Ten Commandments, or any of the commandments in that regard. You don't have to go down very far, and you see that it's a little bit tough to do, and it's the point of it. It's impossible to do, that man can't fulfill those things that are needed to not only to reassure us, but to put life in us. It's not a how to book of how you, if you do it like this, that's where you end up. And we're gonna look at several things. But he said that our joy may be full. And then the five verses that we're gonna kind of base our looking into around this morning is verse 5-10, and especially there where it says, "This is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness." And then it says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a pretty good couple, three verses there of what that has to say. And that's what was being declared, as it says here, and that which the message they've heard is, God is light, and there's no darkness in Him. And apart from Him, there is no light. It's not He is light, and there's other sources of light. We're going to look at several passages dealing with that. But He is light, and in him is no darkness. Let me move my notes a bit. If people do say that there's more than one path to God, and you can get to God in heaven, and you know, and the path that works for you, and if we say, and as people say, that we are saved or we are God's people, and we walk in the light, as it says, it's a lie. It's not. We can't say that and then deny what the Scripture have to say or add to or take from, and also anything that takes away from here that God is light and in Him is no darkness, and the only way we can have fellowship with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ is that He reveals to us that light. We can't get, it's not Him and something else, or it's not, we do part of it, He does part of it. It's all of Him. And anything that degrades that God is in that position, and we are either lowers God or raises us, is not correct. It's a lie. And by nature, unregenerate man believes he's right with God or can get right with God, because what we think we do is right. Our innate goodness will do. And by nature, that's what man believes. They believe you go to a funeral or you go to a lot of different things, and the remarks made about natural man invariably is, well, he lived a pretty good life. That's not a bad thing, but that's not what's required, is living a good life. And that doesn't bring us any closer to God, because we lived a good life on earth here as goodness. And what we consider, man considers good, it's not what God considers good. It's not according to the light that He had. Looking at a couple of spots, but in Luke chapter 18, we've been through this ground. Mike's was here a couple of times, a couple of lessons in this particular spot, but in Luke chapter 18 and reading down from verse 9, you'll recognize this section, about a few verses, the publican and the sinner, it's called, and or the Pharisee and the publican. And it says, verse 9 in Luke chapter 18, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner," or the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." A couple of thoughts here that were mentioned before is the Pharisee, and the Pharisees are often typed as what natural man is like, and indeed that's a true statement by all men by nature. But as he stood and prayed with himself and pointed out how righteous he was in his eyes towards God, in front of God, thank God that he wasn't like anybody else. And the publican, on the other hand, prayed for God to be merciful to him, a sinner. And the Pharisee obviously did not see himself as a sinner because of all the things that he had done and does do. Those things that the Pharisee claimed as his position to stand before God are are not bad things. I'd rather have a good neighbor than a bad neighbor, believer or not. I would rather have one that was a good neighbor than one that's not a good neighbor. And so those things are not righteous. That's not righteousness, and that's not what justifies us by pointing to ourselves, to God, how good we are. That we'll see, and that's not the attitude that God's people have, and that He reveals to us what we are. And as it says here, the publican, it said, went down to his house justified rather than the others. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And a couple things there, they said he went down justified. He was in God's eyes pretty good standing. He was justified. He was as a just person in that. And that wasn't because by nature he was a better man than the other. That means by nature God and God's doing showed him that he was a sinner. And as it's been pointed out many times, God's people, as that is, as he works in his people, is to me the sinner, and not just the sinner in we do bad things, but God reveals to us that by our nature we are that. Whether we do good things as man sees them or not, the inward man is not that just by doing good things. That's that man that God creates, as we're going to see a little later. And it shows what these people, these two both thought of themselves in front of God, and that the one felt that he had earned a spot there and was pretty proud of it, and the other was not very proud of his situation and by nature. And it says that the one went down to his house justified rather than the other. And it's not speaking here about physical things or physical sins that are done. It's the person. It's the nature that is the issue and is the problem. There are some very upright men, as you would look at them on the outward, that do some pretty nice things for others and for their community or whatever, that are not believers. And that does not justify them before God. And the publican, as it says here, he prayed to God for mercy on who he was. And that's a revelation from God to his people. In Luke chapter 16, just back a little bit. In Luke chapter 16, verses 15 through 17, it says, verse 14, the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man passeth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. And here particularly, as it says up here, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And so righteousness is not man justifying himself before God. That's not righteousness. That is natural man presenting himself before God and thinking he's all right. And the only way that we see that we are not right is by God revealing that to us. Otherwise, we're the same as the Pharisee there. I remember who it was. Somebody that we know has said, it's been repeated a couple of times, that we're all recovering Pharisees, and that's a fact. All of God's people were like the Pharisee, and before he reveals himself to us and what we are like, if somebody would have asked us if we are righteous or just before God, we would have said, well, yeah, I do pretty good things. We've not even seen the issue. And so that's all from God revealing himself to us. We are all like that by nature. In Isaiah, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Let's see here. Starting with verse 14, and this isn't the first time or the first spot in Isaiah that these issues come up or these thoughts come up. But Isaiah chapter 28, starting with verse 14, it says, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place." So it's saying that by nature, man has said, "Well, we made a covenant with death, and with hell we're in agreement. Everything's going to be fine. When the end comes, we're going to be okay." And when that, as it says, that when the scourge shall pass through, it's not going to bother us. And we've made lies our refuge, under falsehood have we hid ourselves. They don't say that in that many words, but that's what it is when the scripture in the gospel is preached to an unregenerate man. He's okay. And it says, "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place." Said, "I'm going to lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet." Here's the straight line. Here's righteousness. You're kind of like this, or kind of like this. You're not even in the same plane that righteousness is. And it says, you want to compare your righteousness to righteousness, there's going to be an issue. And it says, "Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then ye shall be trodden down." It says you might think you're in pretty good situation here, and what you see as agreement with death and hell, because you're contrary to what the word of God says, it says you're going to be in a bad spot. And it says, from that time, verse 19, "From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. By morning shall it pass over, day by day and night. It shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than he can wrap himself in it." That's a pretty good description of righteousness of man. That there's not even a cover to stretch, but as it says here, the bed's too short. The bed's too short for the man, and he can't cover himself with a covering. And that is a perfect description of what our view of righteousness is and how we stand. And if that's the best we can do. That's the best we can do. Natural man, when it comes to spiritual things, there's nothing there. It's empty, dead. And anything that we try to come up with answers to things is going to be wrong every time. There's no truth in it. There's no light in it. And that's all it can be. In Isaiah again, chapter 65. chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. It says here above that it's speaking of people that it says here, verse 2 actually, I spread my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. God speaking, walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in gardens and burneth incense upon the altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. And verse 5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. And we see pictures of where we're at in Numbers and other places of what Israel is like, and a picture of sometimes a picture of the church as his people, and sometimes just a picture of natural man. And we see the things that God has done there in Numbers. And previous to that, you say, boy, how could you see that stuff and not recognize something's pretty good here? Natural man cannot see it, cannot the eyes cannot see that, the ears cannot hear it. We just stay, as it says here, come not near me, I'm holier than thou. And that's our view of who we are in God's sight by nature. We don't just think that we're not quite good, we think that we're holier than God is, or holier than the people that bring the scriptures to us. In Matthew chapter 9, go to Matthew just for a minute. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. It says Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it says, and as Jesus passed forth thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. As he said, the ones that are not sick in their own eyes don't need a doctor, and those that are righteous in their own eyes sure don't need the righteousness that the Lord provides to his people and is to his people. And that's ever going to be the case. It ever is the case. And it being that way, it gives God's people quite a leg up and a head start on when the word is preached to unbelievers. You know what the reaction is going to be, barring God changing that person. It should never be a surprise to us when natural man doesn't get excited about the preaching of the word, and look back on our own selves and how what we were like when if we can recollect the first time we heard the gospel preached and what it meant to us or didn't mean to us. And by nature, that's what we are like. And once again in Luke chapter 7. And Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 36. It says, and when the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with them, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, speaking of the Lord. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had been him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast judged rightly. Then he turned, verse 44, then he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with oil, with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they, verse 49, they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. And up here, the picture here is, as it says, who loved most? Somebody that's been forgiven much, or someone who's been forgiven little. And he said that to the one that the Pharisee said to Simon, said the one that forgave most. And here, as it said, the Pharisee, as we look back in the picture of the Pharisee and the publican, one of them didn't even see that he had anything to be forgiven or judged for, and the publican did, because, and the difference being, God had revealed that to him. Same way with the woman here. She had revealed who she was and who the Lord was to her, and that is how she had, as I said, thy faith hath saved thee. We know that the faith wasn't something that she came of her own self with. It was faith that was given to her to have this view of the Lord, and that she needed to be forgiven, and also the value of who he was to her. In John chapter 1, starting with verse 6, and we've read this section many times, but it says in John 1, verse 6, it said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, John bore witness of the light, just as in the we see in 1 John there, he's bearing witness of that which was shown unto him. That was, it wasn't something that John was coming up with or was setting out there. He was setting out those things that Christ is the true light that were shown to him, and he was bringing it in, and God had him record that we would have it. Something that we need to keep in mind whenever we approach this type of thing of righteousness or things that deal with us and with God, there's a verse that we need to, several, but one that should come to mind that should come to mind to us, and it's Hebrews in chapter 2. No, it isn't. Just a minute. I'm in the wrong. Chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says, verse 1 and 2, speaking about those, the roll call of faith as it's called in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, verse 1 of chapter 12, here, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. But here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we have to keep that in mind whenever we look at these type of things, that anything we have, and we're not quite done yet, but that should be the probably one of the first and last verses or thoughts that should come to while we're doing these things, looking into the scriptures, is to look unto him. And that's what it should do, is point unto him as that, everything, as we were going to see some more of here, but that he's the true light. And then in John chapter 3, go back to the book of John chapter 3. Okay, in John chapter 3, couple of places. First, I'd like to read John 3:18 through 21. It says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned," speaking of him that believeth on our Lord, "but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Again, the publican and the Pharisee didn't really want to have the light shined on him, because he didn't see he had an issue. The publican or the sinner, he pleads for mercy from God and to reveal those things, and he had already revealed to him that he was the sinner, and not just in an action or two, but as nature, and God reveals that to his people. And then in the same chapter, back up to verse number 1 of John chapter 3. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A lot of times that couple of verses are quoted and said, there you go. They don't read before that what the Lord had to say to Nicodemus about being born again is not assenting to a formula. It's not, that's not being born again. It's the Spirit that reveals and opens the eyes of man, puts life in his people. That's the only way it can come about. It's not as easy as saying a few things and saying, do you believe that? And people say yes. A lot of places that's pushed across as salvation, and it is not. And it says above there that we read on verse 18 and following that light's in the world, and natural man does not like the light, does not want the light shining. And that is, if the Spirit has put and regenerated and his people are born again, they will have no problem with the light. That is not an issue to them. Anything that God's people say the record's true. By nature, this is what we are, and without his working in us, that's where we will die and where we will stay. Verse 3, or chapter 3 and down into another, he's talking to the disciples down here, but at verse 27 of chapter 3 of John, and it says, John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And anything dealing with spiritual life, it has to be given to us. It has to be caused to be in us, and it's not an offering that we make a wise decision towards. It's God's dealing with us. And then in Ezekiel, let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. And let's start with verse 20. Let's start with verse 21. It says, But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, one I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you from all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Verse 28, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, increase the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. And above here, in verse that he, all the parts of these verses here that say, I will, or will I do these things? This is the working of God as he talked to Nicodemus. You must be born from above by the Spirit. And here it is in this passage, God saying this is what he will do, these things he will do. And then I always, something that is a key point, I think, to what God revealing himself to his people is like, and this is where the publican comes in again, is verse 31. It says, then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. We don't even know what we were like without him putting life in us so we can understand the difference and see the difference. Then we understand what we were like. Then, as the publican, we to God we pray for mercy and his mercy on us, the sinners. But it's God's doing that puts us in that position, that puts us in that spot. And that is the only way it can get done, and the only way it's done. And then in James, just a couple more spots, in the book of James, chapter 1, I believe. Yes, chapter 1. It says here in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 1 of James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every operation that is done, as it says there in Ezekiel, as it said there in John, it says that the rest of the scriptures is from above. It's from above. It's all these things are, it says, cometh down from the Father of lights. And he begat us with the word of truth, in the word of truth. And so, back to 1 John again. 1 John and chapter 1. It says in verse 5 again, it says, then this is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're cleansed from all unrighteousness. We therefore stand in Christ righteous before God. And again, looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, and it's all done, that is, things that are done for us and in our behalf and not of ourselves. So with that, thank you for your attention, and take a quick break before Mike comes with the word. Thank you.